champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah. You gotta dance sexy. It's Cuddy Buddy music.
Oh, take it easy.
There you go.
Oh.
I'm sexy.
That's your sexy.
Oh, there you go, honey. That's just prime like Cuddy loving just right there.
Like, just like the valley girl I am.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Being Mary Jane. We are here for episode 10, Prime Time. I'm your host, Megan Thomas, at Meg Scoop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And make sure you follow us right here on AfterBuzzTV.com. You can also go to YouTube, click subscribe. It's right down there. Just click on that. And you can catch all of our AfterBuzz TV shows. And in addition to that, you can also follow us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Just click subscribe. Give us 5 stars because we love it. And as always, who are you beautiful hosts?
I am Tiana Hobson, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson, and I'm also on Snapchat at Tiana underscore Hobson, and I just downloaded Periscope, so I'm at the Tiana Hobson there too.
You're all over the place. I'm only on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter right now. Hopefully I'm going to upgrade myself like Miss Tiana. Right. I am Fania Thomas at all of those lovely places.
My cousin.
Yes, and we have another cousin.
We have another Thomas in the building. We have 2 special guests today.
That don't count because that's not his last name.
You know what? Don't matter. Don't hate. We have 2 guests from the show today. Y'all give it up for Cuddy Buddy, Thomas Q. Jones, and of course, the lovely Dr. Lisa Latarsha Rose.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you both here. So let's just jump right into it. So Aaliyah comes on, rock the boat, you know what I'm saying? Getting you in the mood. And then, of course, we see you, Mr. Brandon Cuddy Buddy. Now, I was like, ooh, am I supposed to be watching this? Is this on cable?
I feel like I was watching Skinamax.
It was soft porn. It was definitely soft porn.
In his Versace underwear.
You were right.
Versace.
And I love
details.
He came to the door with the Gouda and the boudoir wine.
Bordeaux. Oh, my goodness. So when you had to do this scene, how did you feel? Were you embarrassed? Were you a little scared? Were you like, yes, Gabrielle Union? I mean, Mary Jane, I get to kiss on her. Like, how did you feel?
You know what? It honestly, I mean, it's acting, so I didn't really feel any type of way about, you know, being with, like, Gabrielle. I was just being Brandon. I was just in the moment, and, you know, I wanted to make sure that I provided what Brandon Gibson's character was supposed to provide for the show, which is that, you know, release, that guy on the side that she can talk to that, you know, comes over and makes it okay. That's all I kept thinking was, you know, how would I do this for real? And
So those were real life moves.
You know what? when I was on set, I didn't really, like I said, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, she has all these men and has all these issues, and everyone has their purpose. And I knew what my purpose was, and I just wanted to fulfill it.
You did.
Yes, you
fulfilled
did.
That purpose.
Look over here, Latarsha. Okay. Uh-huh. You do it just like how we were feeling, honey. Like, yes.
This might be Lisa. How do we know?
I was just going to say, walk out, Lisa, because we already know something with you and David. We're going to get to that later.
Can we just point out the fact that when you showed up on the doorstep, you had on this V-neck situation hoodie, and it's coming right now tonight with, like, chest. I just don't want us to skip over all of that. The ensemble is impeccable.
Thank you.
As the tattoos and the chocolate skin and the dimples.
And also, we're talking about the shoes earlier.
Let's just get
all out right
yeah,
now.
Right, right, right.
Get it out in the beginning. So.
Is it hot in here? Do you need to unzip the sweater a little bit?
Yes. You think it's hot?
You, I'm just you feeling it's hot.
You know what? I feel like we're a bunch of dudes right now. And like, Thomas is like the only chicken here.
An inch by inch.
We have. I have no problem cooling it off.
That was an inch. Little by little.
You got to do it slow. Do it
little by little. We did that. But wait.
I will
next
say.
Round.
Next round.
We only got 45 minutes.
Okay.
No.
I'm so. Do you ever feel like objectified? Because all these women on Twitter are going crazy over Cutty Buddy.
Cutty Buddy.
And they're saying all of these things. Do you ever feel like, oh, let me close my chest up?
No, you know what? It's been a great response. And for me, coming from the sports world, you know, coming from the NFL to acting, it's very unpredictable. You never know how people are going to receive right. you, because people think, oh, he's a football player, and they automatically think that you might not be a good actor.
Right.
So, you know, what I was really happy about is the response about my acting skills more than anything. You know, obviously there's some intense scenes, and, you know, a lot of people are going to see those or pay attention to those, but I was really happy with the response to my acting more than anything.
Oh, yes. Your acting was impeccable.
And just so you guys know that you're live tweeting right now. So if you see them on their phones, that's what they're doing.
It's all Cutty Buddy, girl.
Yes.
Please feel free to send them a tweet. Mm. Let them know. Latarsha's on it.
And make sure. Yeah, you can also use our hashtag ABTVBMJ. And if we see any of your questions, we'll definitely ask them. Okay, so Thomas, did you know after what you wanted to do after you finished with your NFL career?
No, I mean, I really had no idea. I played for a long time, played 12 years, and when I retired, you know, I don't have a wife or kids or anything, so I didn't have anything to occupy my time, and I'm a busybody. I'm always busy. I take on a lot of different things. I have artists that I was working with. I have a technology company. I have a whole bunch of things that I'm constantly doing, but those things are fun, but I don't love them. And I started producing a TV series in Miami with Clifton Powell. And I was acting in it, and I had a few scenes, and Cliff was like, hey, man, you know, you're a natural. You should take some classes and pursue acting. And I was like, you know what, that might be cool. So as I started to kind of pursue it, I started to realize how acting really helped me detox from football, because football makes you this very hard, tough, mean person that doesn't want to be vulnerable. You don't want to be exposed. And acting is the total opposite.
Right.
And little by little, as I started going to classes and started to audition – and reading scripts, you know, scripts like a playbook. There's a lot of similarities to football and acting that a lot of people would think of.
Right.
And now I've been acting for the last 2 years, and I kind of feel like I'm a different person. I mean, in a good way. You know, not that I was a bad person, but
growth.
Expanding.
I've grown because football is our reality, but it's not realistic.
Right.
So, that being said, no, I didn't know, but I'm glad I found something I love, because I really love acting. I think it's really dope.
Right. And I want to say thank you to you for being an awesome running back, because you helped me do very well in a few of my fantasy football seasons. You and your brother, Julius Jones, shout out.
Yeah.
Yes, you guys are awesome.
Thank you
for that.
Thank you,
your mama, for y'all's good football genes.
Yeah, my mom, she's a cheerleader and ran track, too. So,
we get
a lot of it from her. My dad played football, too. All my uncles played. My family's athletic. I have a big family, 5 sisters, my brother. They all were cheerleaders, ran track. My sister was a cheerleader in college. So, yeah, my family's pretty athletic. But, yeah, thank you. I'll make sure I tell my brother you said.
Yes. Wow. And how does mommy feel about your acting career, especially seeing her baby boy bear his stuff?
Was mama watching today?
Oh, man. Ooh. Look, the first.
Let's see. Is she on Twitter?
No, she's not on Twitter. She actually destroys the name. She called it Transagram. She like mixed together. I was like, mama, please do not say that again.
That might be an app.
Right.
It might be.
Should create it.
Yeah, it's definitely memorable. I tried to explain to her after I did the episodes last year, and, you know, I don't know how I tell my mom that I have my head in between some face between somebody's legs.
You don't say that.
No, it's just like, I'm like, mama, you just have to watch it and see. And after the first episode, I was actually in L.A., so I missed it on East Coast, and they were watching it at home. And
I love it.
My mom, I see the home number, home. Oh. So I answer the phone, and...
What'd she say?
What did mommy say?
Well, and then it was just we both started up, like, mama, what happened? What did you see? Because then my Twitter started blowing up, because I wasn't watching. I didn't know what they showed.
Right.
And I didn't see any of the edits. I didn't see anything. So I was just like, okay, obviously they showed something, because my phone literally, battery almost died, because it's my Twitter and Instagram and text messages. And I was on the phone with my mom for like an hour. We were trying to figure out a way to discuss it, but it was just... It was, there's no way. And then last week was even worse. She was like, well, is it worse than the first one? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't know how to say it. But tonight I talked to her and it was a little better.
It was a little better. You had clothes on.
Yeah, I actually had a shirt on.
Not when you asked for the, well, 2 hours.
We had that hot towel.
Oh, right.
That was Mara.
Hold on, wait. Yes. Who was it that was in there and was like, what's the hot towel for? Was that your manager? Who was it?
That was not me. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder, like, what's the hot towel for?
And then we're like, oh.
Well.
That's the grown folks.
Yeah. They went in. I love the fact that it's a very realistic show. I think that's why people connect to it, because they don't hold any punches. It's like, hey, this is what happens. These are the type of relationships people have. And, you know, I mean, people aren't perfect. This is what people do. People have needs. Mary Jane has needs. You know, I have needs. And everything about this show, the reason why I'm so happy to be a part of it is because, you know, I have 5 sisters. I have 2 older sisters. One's 8 years older than me, and my youngest sister's 11 years younger than me. So I'm right in the middle. So I'm a big brother and a little brother at the same time. And I see all their struggles. I have a sister that's 45, one's 42, one's 33, one's 30, and one's 26.
Wow.
So so I see all their struggles across the board. And my mother, you know, so I see, I've seen it. I kind of had a cheat sheet to women growing up.
Right.
I heard a lot of things.
Touche.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of things at a young age that I wasn't supposed to do. So I've, you know, I've been able to dodge a lot of situations because I've had 2 older sisters. But I really appreciate the story, and I appreciate how Mara and the writers, how they just create these topics, and they bring so many things to the front lines that people don't want to talk about, especially from a black woman's perspective. It's just dope.
Absolutely. Mm. So we see that Brandon and MJ are in the bed. And they're having a little pillow talk, and he asks her about her boo, Sheldon. Is this appropriate for a cutty buddy to ask about a boo, LaTarsha?
I actually thought it was really just, it was a beautiful moment for me, I thought, because I think they have maybe the realest relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, look, this is what we have, this is what it is, we're going to talk about these things. And then when he asks the question, so are you sleeping with him? Because I need to take care of myself, and this is our deal. So the fact that Cuddy Buddy's talking about safe sex actually makes him even more endearing.
Yes.
And he's just real. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little bit of, you know, maybe he wants more than just Cuddy Buddy status.
I kind of felt that, too, a little bit coming from him tonight. Because when he said that, I was like, oh, is he kind of thinking, like, well, you know, is my time up? Do I have to, you know, pass you on to the next one now? Or do I still get a couple more months with you?
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, though. I thought
I loved it. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was genuine. It was...
And I think that you can ask that question.
Yes,
because
you should.
You have an arrangement already. You said, you know, as soon as things start getting serious, we need to break things off. So he's just like, hey, are we at that point yet?
Right.
Let me know, because I can bounce.
This is an adult conversation.
Exactly.
This is what should be happening and transpiring, and I'm glad that it's in the dialogue. We need to see it more, especially within the African-American community. We need the Wrap It Up campaign, like all of that. And it was great that he asked the question.
Exactly.
Right.
Because it's usually the women you would think are asking or, you know, mulling it over in their minds.
Yeah. And there was no disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, what are you doing? Here's what I'm doing. This is our understanding. Open dialogue without people getting their feelings involved.
Right. And it was, I feel like, I agree with you so much.
I think
his
feelings are involved. Sorry. I think Brandon's feelings are, but go ahead.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you that this is probably the realest relationship that Mary Jane has currently, especially because they're just so transparent with each other. And the fact that Brandon talks about how this is a real struggle with a lot of NFL players, right? Like, you get cut from a team.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out where you go.
Yeah.
You got to focus. Got the ladies around you, but you don't want the drama.
Uh-huh.
You just really want to focus. Was that even true to anything that had to do with your own personal career?
When I played, I had a few relationships when I played. And I was so focused on football. I played a long time, because to play a long time in the NFL and to play at a high level, you have to be focused.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I go to work, I'm not sitting at a desk. You know, I may get paralyzed or break my leg or tear my Achilles. Or there's so many really bad things that could happen to me at work. So you have to be focused. And I think for me to be in a situation like that, and and not have to deal with the stress of a relationship, I think it makes you a little bit harder as a boyfriend or a husband when you play. But then when you retire, you start to realize, like, you know, hey, you know what? Like I said before, you know, you're vulnerable. You're exposed, and you expose yourself. So, you know, I can definitely relate to how it feels to be focused while you're playing. But at the same time, having a good woman behind you, having a good woman that supports you, that's there for you after the games, to rub you when you're sore and tell you you'll be okay when you lose. Mm. Those things are important, too. Mm. And I've been on both sides. I've had girlfriends, relationships where it was that. She was there for me. Mm. And I've had relationships where she was the total opposite, where it's like I lose a game, and it's like, man, you know what? I'd rather go back into the game than deal with you.
Right.
You know, I've had it on both sides of the fence.
Let me go to the CFL. I don't even know that close to you.
Yeah, I saw a tweet where somebody said they thought I was dissing the CFL. I told you guys, that, no, I'm not dissing the CFL. I have friends that play the CFL. I saw a tweet that's like, oh, Thomas Jones going in on him. I'm like, no, listen, like, I just
that was
said
Brandon.
What they told me to
Brandon,
say.
Right. That was Brandon.
Yeah, that was Brandon. Yeah. So be mad at Brandon Gibson. Don't be mad at me.
Well, speaking about Twitter and what's trending, we've talked about the ladies. We have to ask. You already said you don't have a wife or children. So what's your relationship status? Are you looking? Are you single?
They're asking.
And I'm not even on Twitter.
I already know.
I'm very single. Yeah, I mean, right now I'm really focused on what I'm doing just because I just started acting, and I was blessed to be cast for a show like this and to be around great actors like Latarsha and everybody else like on the cast. Like, it's just a blessing. It's like really a transition for me. So, I'm the type of person, I want to be the best. I want to be good. I just don't want to just come in and just say, oh, you know, I was on a show and it's cool. No, like, I want to grow as an actor. I want to be the best I can be. So I'm focused on my career. But you know what? I think when relationships happen organically and when you're not looking for them, those are the best ones. So I'm single, and I'm just kind of floating around like a helium balloon. So,
okay, what kind of lady do you like? Everybody.
I was like, I'm done. Show's over for me. Bye, y'all.
What do you look for? Because, of course, everybody's like, oh.
Because I'm a gentleman right now.
Yes.
I'm like, I won't tweet that.
Actually, we'll do this. What's your pet peeve? What do you go like, that's a red flag. I can't do it.
Pet peeve.
Come on, you gotta have
you,
one.
Yes, you do.
I think my pet peeve is probably a woman that can't, a woman that's that doesn't want to grow, that doesn't want to learn. Mm-hmm. A woman that doesn't want to learn, it's like, what are we doing?
Right.
You know, we can't go anywhere. I'm always constantly trying to learn new things and grow and I take on a lot of different projects. It's a lot of different things because I've always been a curious person. I've always wanted to, you know, even when I was a kid, my dad would be like, boy, shut up, you talk too much. Stop asking me questions.
Yes.
But, you know, I wanted to know. I wanted to know, and I need someone that's like that wants to learn. They want to grow. They want to grow with me. And I think I value that more now that I don't play football, because when I played, I was so focused on the game. And now I understand, like, you know, to be in a relationship with someone, you have to be able to grow with them, and they have to be able to grow with you. It can't be one-sided. So just a pet peeve for me really is someone that just doesn't want to grow. They don't want to learn. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or doesn't rub your feet to your back after work.
You know what? I think I was spoiled. I have so many sisters, and I always had a home-cooked meal.
Your sisters rubbed your feet?
No. Yeah. No, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't even touch my feet.
Because I didn't rub them.
They're like, oh, man.
I was going to say, you're an athlete. No. I can love you to death. I ain't touching your feet.
No,
girl, you can touch them feet.
My feet are like, I have running back feet, but they're not too bad. But,
you both go to the massage place at the same time. See, there you go. You're all good.
Yeah, I mean, we can do those things, but I like to take care of a woman. I think because I've seen my sisters and my mother, and I know what women need from a man. They want to feel safe. They want to feel protected. They want to feel loved. They want to feel like they matter. You know what I mean? And that's why in the last episode, I know a lot of people were like, oh, God, Cuddy Buddy's a dummy. Cuddy Buddy's dumb.
We said it here.
And I was like, yo, really? Like, no, well, like, I'm not a dummy.
So we said less than
but I'm like, you know what? I'm trying.
Right.
Okay, because most women come home and they complain about their job and it's the end of the world. This woman, she's trying to kill me, my job. She hates me. She's trying to ruin me. And I'm like, you know, most guys are just like, but right. I'm like, I'm trying to listen. I can't follow you. Like, don't call me a dummy. I'm listening.
You don't have to. absolutely right. You did sit and listen to her talk about her bad day, which some men would just disregard.
I would like to apologize to you.
Don't apologize. Don't go now, because
I know I did not have the best things to say about Cuddy Buddy last week.
His minds were less than smart.
No, I love it. I love it. But you know what? That's what I love about the show is that, you know, it gives my character a chance to grow. You get a chance to see me go from being just a guy that she's having sex with and I just pop up to actually seeing our relationship, seeing our chemistry, seeing that, you know, I feel like our relationship, like you said, it's the most open relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when relationships start like that, then you're not meeting a representative. Right. I know you for who you are, you know me for who I am, so let's just cut through the nonsense and if we're going to move forward, we can, or if we're not, we're not.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you cut through a lot of red tape when it starts like that. I'm not saying everybody should start off with that, but I am saying that you save a lot of time.
But I love that you said, you know, that we've gotten to see this character grow because you literally started as an ass in a window.
Yes.
Right. And then you've grown, like, look at where we are now.
At first,
it was like, who was
really
that?
Did you
know him?
Yeah.
It was an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about the character. It's a great role. Great role on a great show. Like, I mean, come on, for me to retire and then jump right in with a role like that on a show like this, like, I mean, it's a dream come true for an actor. That's awesome. So I'm very thankful to BET, Robbie Reed, Twinkie Bird, Mara, Gabrielle, you know, everyone that, you know, had a part in me getting the role. I mean, this is like, whoa. But it's a whole different transition. And then I've been able to meet some really good people along the way, my manager, my publicist, like, just along the way. I moved out here in June and was like, okay, I'm here. So now what?
Thanks.
You know, and I just continue to work and work and work. And when you do the right things, the right things happen to you.
Right.
So I try to pride myself on that.
Well, amen. Good stuff. So let's talk about Mary Jane. She goes to Fabric, which, shout out, my line sister works at that store in Atlanta. Hey, girl.
Oh, yeah. It's
a great store, yeah. So she goes to Fabric. She's talking to the store girl.
Shop girl.
Who is actually putting herself through law school and... they have something in common. It's Sheldon.
Sheldon's
been around the block. So we find some things out about Sheldon. He's kinky. He dates 20-somethings. He never orgasms. And he never lets the ladies stay the night. This made me look at Sheldon a little differently. Didn't make you guys look at him the same?
No.
It made me go,
Basically, what they were saying is Sheldon is into Kama Sutra.
Oh, is that what that means?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really?
That's it.
That's just going to make it better for you.
Without saying those words, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they said it sounded more like, it gave it more weight, but...
I wonder, so we have the list for Sheldon, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the list for Mary Jane? Because if you were to compare those two lists, if there were two guys that ran into each other, like, I feel like some of those things would be on the list. I don't know if Mary Jane would let them spend the night.
I don't know if she would know that. I mean, she knowingly dated a married man.
Right.
She
likes married men. Okay.
She tried to use a turkey baster to steal some sperm.
Okay.
I mean, she's got a list of crazy, too.
She does.
She's not as... And that's what made me a little mad at her, because she got so sort of snooty about, you know, the fact that he had some skeletons in his closet. And you're dating this person and you're still getting to know him and you guys are, you know, playing games and having fun. And the fact that he didn't disclose this information, I don't think it matters what he did in his past, because... he's dating 20-somethings.
But I think it is possibly a sign that she does like him.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that, and when you hear something about the person that you're interested in from somebody else, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you're taken off guard. You feel ambushed. Like, this is some information I should know. Like, no one should be able to tell me nothing about my boo monster.
Right.
Even whatever the level of seriousness we have going on, I just think she was taken aback.
But she pried into finding
out more.
Well,
you would too!
But if you pry and you jump the gun of getting to know someone before you've gotten to the point of getting to know that person, and then you want to get mad about it?
You wouldn't inquire.
You wouldn't ask for questions?
No. Mm. No, because
Thomas, would you ask?
Just like, I don't.
I'll ask too. I'm inquisitive. I want to know.
I just want to know. Not that it's going to make me look at you any different, but it's like you know, if I go in a dark room, I'm not just going to walk in there. It was dark. I'm going to try to find where a light switch is. You know, I'm going to try to...
Wait a minute, Thomas, because you walk into Versace, and your homeboy that always hooks you up at Versace talks about the lady that you... You talking to right now, you just met, and he says some things about her. You really going to be like, it's not going to change the way I see her.
Well, I mean, like I said, you meet someone's representative at first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you should, and you should at least give them a chance to explain. So if you're sitting at dinner, at least be like, oh, so I heard some things, or get a find a way to get them to give you that information so you get their side of the story.
Because
you don't know the shop girl's crazy. You don't know, and it's her perspective, her life experience, all of her life drama. It's I don't need to taint my experience because it's going to be different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that I would get the same, well, Lisa would hope that she would get the same.
It's all in what you do with the information. Granted, she delivered it all wrong, like at dinner, at the table. I mean, that was, she delivered it.
Yeah, ooh, you're right. It's how you say it.
Right. Yeah, it's
like, you can't accuse the man of doing something wrong. He didn't know you. And I think all of us have been guilty of doing that in some case where, you know, you hear something, and because we have these expectations of who this person is supposed to be,
right,
and when we find out that they're not that, we're a little disappointed and we're upset.
Right.
So it doesn't come out like, hey, you know, I heard you had sex with like 10 people. You know, it's like, you had sex with 10 people, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
exactly.
You know, it comes out wrong, you know. So it's really about how you say it. Everyone has a past. I mean,
And I like how the girl flipped it on her. Mary Jane came at her first about being, well, he's too young. You're so young. And then she flipped it and said, well, you're not really his type because you're closer to 40.
Right.
I did like that. She did jab her back because, you know.
Well, she kept calling him mature, which caught me off guard, too. I was like, okay, but...
Right.
Right.
Why don't she keep pointing that out?
It's still sexy, so I know. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, I agree with... I actually like the fact that MJ kind of... She was a little, what's the word, perturbed, or a little, she was a little undone because she found this information about him. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like it, because I think it shows something that happens with a lot of women, which is we get scared, we don't want to be hurt, and so we reel back immediately.
Yeah.
And instead of taking the more logical route, which is, okay, well, let's talk about it, let's explain, like this is what I heard, but like, let me know more about you in your past. Instead of taking that route, we take the accusatory route. You know what I mean? So I actually like it because this is true to life. This happens a lot. You know what I mean?
And he called her on it. He said, you're pulling back. And she said, I don't want to be hurt. Which, again, this adult dialogue, I love it.
And also because it was not a woman that she's friends with. If it were a friend who, they're like, oh, that like would be Dr. a different Lisa? Story, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, maybe not at the moment. Start talking and telling her some stuff.
Hello? Yes. And then, of course, we see that at the end, Sheldon gives her a call after she's had a great day at work. And he says that he wants to be back. He wants to be with her. He wants more from her. And he said that she had to find out this information about him through this channel. Not that he was hiding it, but, you know, you want to hear it from the horse's mouth first. And so Brandon comes over with his chocolatiness, ready to meet up, and gets shut down, boom, at the door.
Yeah, I mean, that happens to Cuddy Buddies sometimes. Cuddy Buddies overstep their boundaries sometimes. But you know what? My character likes her. He likes her. He has fun with her. We have fun. There's no strings attached. But someone is going to catch feelings. And most women don't think it's the guy.
Oh, I think it's the guy for sure.
The guys catch feelings too. Women don't understand the power that they have.
Tell us about
it. Silence is deadly. And if a woman acts like she doesn't care, I mean, most men get furious when a woman acts like she doesn't care. I mean, if you act like you care, we got you. If you act like you don't care, we're going to chase.
Right.
I mean, she tells me, remember we said if we're going to, that hurts. What do you mean? Like, I'm not good enough? You know, so what most men do with our ego and our pride is, you know, that's what I was thinking too. It's like, hurts. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I just thought that was a real, real legitimate scene. It's a real legitimate scenario. A lot of guys don't want to acknowledge, you know, because we have egos. You know, we're supposed to be the man. You know, a woman's not supposed to tell us, like, no, you're not good enough. So, I mean, I thought that was a really, really good scene, and I thought it was legit. I just, like I said, I love the content. I love the relationship stuff, because most people don't want to touch on it. I think that's why the response is what it is, because they're like, wow, I just went through that, or I'm going through that right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, show is like therapy for people.
It's relevant, like, today.
Yes. So I like what Brandon says to her, actually, which is, you know, when he comes back with his retort after his heart gets ripped out of his chest, he tries to say, like, well, yeah, I was saying the same thing because I feel like this is holding me back from something, a better relationship. Which, do you think there's truth to that?
No.
Latarsha?
Oh.
In this situation?
Yes, in this situation.
No. I actually think that I think he has feelings. He gets caught off guard. But I did love when he said, "Cuddy's not dumb." When he's like, "Of course, yes. I was coming for it.
Right, right.
I was gonna try to get some." I love that.
Yes,
that was great. So
what, I'm not allowed to have an original thought.
Right,
I was coming with the witty one-liners.
Yeah, I was just wanting to let her know. Hey, look, I'm hurt, but I'm not. You know, and especially Mary Jane, because she's in control of everything. Mm-hmm. She calls the shots. Who are you to tell me? Who did you tell me that you weren't going to be with me? Yeah, right. You know, it was fun. It was a fun little back and forth little game. So we'll see where it goes.
Oh, yes. And so speaking of all the other relationships in Mary Jane's life, Dr. Lisa and Val are meeting for lunch. By the way, your hair looked fabulous, straight. It looks beautiful, curly. But I was just it took us a minute to realize it was you that Val was talking to. Because I was like, you know, the camera's from behind. We see the straight hair. We're like, it's Dr. Lisa.
It was a humid day. Karen, Caprice, who's our hair head of hair, she was like, oh, she needs to go inside with the air. She's like, psh.
Well, you looked fabulous.
Thank you. Couldn't tell.
Yes, and so we find during this lunch that there's something huge, which is there's a secret between David and Dr. Lisa. Mm. What is the secret? We're just going to ask you, what's the secret? Go ahead and tell us.
You'll tell her?
No. There's nothing to tell us. No. She's just working through something.
You'll tell us.
No.
She has her truth, which she's working through.
Okay, so she's going to tell us.
What is her truth? What is it? Because I got lots of things running through my head right now, and...
Well, let's hear them.
Yeah, what do you think?
Are you going to tell me? Well, the obvious one is that, you know, because we know that there was something where she might have liked him before Mary Jane got there. So right. I'm thinking that one of the original times he cheated on Mary Jane was with Lisa.
Ooh.
And Mary Jane does not know that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm also thinking that she could have gotten pregnant from David and lost the child.
He's fertile. Okay.
Oh,
we found that. Had, like, a miscarriage and MJ doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
I like that one. I mean, you see where my mind's going with all this stuff?
That is a fertile mind.
I mean,
Mara.
Yes. Mara.
Nope.
Just taking notes down. I mean, I won't even charge you.
Dr. Lisa said she wanted to come clean, so.
Yeah.
April.
And Val was adamant, and Val has been this whole time kind of the peacemaker between them, trying to get the lines of communication open between Mary Jane and Dr. Lisa again. She's like, that is a bad idea. Do not do that.
She did a 180.
Yeah. So when your psychologist tells you no, that's something bad.
Something
bad is brewing. And I've been eyeing her ever since that scene, and she's not breaking.
I know, Dr. I don't know what to think about you this season, because the first season, I loved you. The second season, I'm like, ooh, at your character, because I feel like there's so many things that has transpired between, that we now see, that has happened in the past with between you and Mary Jane. So now I'm like, oh, is she a real friend, or is she like a fake friend, or is she like a jealous friend? So now I got my eyes. I'm side eyeing you right now.
I'm getting a lot of side. Lisa's getting a lot of side eye.
Well, Lisa.
But there are people who actually see the other side of it, and they sort of see, well, how did Mary Jane come to be with David?
Hey, mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Right.
And what really is underneath their friendship and all of that stuff, and more becomes revealed, just like your character. Like Mara would always talk about, she likes to sort of like peel an onion open, and that's what's happening with each character, and the deeper you get closer to the inside of the onion, the more you cry, the more you have to, you know, all that stuff. So
Who would you say is a better friend to one another, Dr. Lisa or Mary Jane? Like, the one episode where you were a little untucked and Val and Mary Jane were in your, I think they're in your kitchen
talking,
and you came in and heard it, like, and it was just like enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget our conversation, but I was kind of like, well, when you come in on something, you may not know what the core of it is. And she's tired of kind of being a better friend to Mary Jane.
Right.
What do you think Lisa would say in regards to that? Who do you think she would say is a better friend?
Well, Lisa. We've done some BET promo stuff, and we actually had to journey down this road with Lisa and the friendship. And I think Lisa's starting to really sort of be truthful about what the friendship is and what Mary Jane does bring to her friendship. Because from Mary Jane's perspective, she always talks about how she's always there for everyone. She's always picking everyone up, and nobody's calling her. But on the other hand, she is not always as generous with her time and how she interacts with people. She actually needs people to need her. And I think she sort of feeds off of that.
Right.
And doesn't really allow her vulnerabilities to really allow her to get close to people and to really have the relationships really, really get deeper and more intimate. So the friendship is surface.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, I mean, as long as they've been friends, sometimes you have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know.
I will say this, that I can see that, and I can see where Lisa, you know, sort of could be at her breaking point. And I would not be mad at Lisa if she did cheat on, cheat with David.
Right.
If you wanted to just say that that's what it was.
Especially if Mary Jane stole David from you, then.
Yeah. If I look back in real life, I mean, going back to high, I mean, there's always the love triangles, and, you know, the friends. There's people who I like, who my friends end up dating, you know, and I kind of.
Oh, those whores.
Like, I hate them. And if I had had the chance, like, oh, maybe I could have dated him too. I don't know.
Well, I think it's one of those things that's also challenging. She's not just a friend, she's family.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's in the family unit. Lisa's a part of their family. So it also, you have that element of sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may be friends, but they're also sisters to an extent.
Right. So let's talk about Mary Jane at work. She's, one thing I love about this show that Mara always does, she has real people come in and talk about stuff that's going on.
Love that.
Real issues that's going on, especially in the Black community. And it kind of, it makes the show even more real. So this episode, we see MJ interviewing Ron Finley, who does gangsta gardening. He put a garden on public property. And basically, because in a lot of communities, Black communities, we don't see healthy food. You've got more fast food restaurants than you do health food places.
Right.
Or any place with vegetables. So I think it's really good that she did have Ron Finley on, because I want to be a gangsta gardener. You know what I mean? I want to have...
Is he gangsta or gorilla?
Well, she said both. She said she started off gorilla gardening, and then she called him a gangsta gardener.
So she want to know what's in a gangster's garden?
The difference.
Gorilla gardening to the streets.
Right? Yes, but Kara says something right after the interview, and she says to MJ, she says she wasn't digging hard enough. That wasn't journalism. Do you think, especially since you're a journalist, Finia, do you think that what she was saying is true?
Yes, I do. Because as a journalist, you have to be unbiased, and you have to pull both parts. And if she missed it, she missed it. It happens. I don't think Mary, as of right now, I don't think Mary Jane was doing it maliciously or to try and force an issue. But that's just, you have to show both sides.
So she was being less... She was being less partial because she wanted to, basically let his agenda...
Right, and you have to present the opposing side.
Right.
Whether or not you agree or disagree, you always have to present the opposing side when you're basically a figure that's delivering news. And in order to be good at that, you have to give both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question, because I'm wondering whether or not... Because there been a shift in the way she's approached her job since her friend committed suicide? Remember when she...
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, has she really... She hasn't... I don't know if she's gone after people. There was a shift. And I'm thinking there might be something there where she's dealing with a little PTSD at work.
Right.
Maybe.
Because of how she... Because she was so...
Right.
Yeah.
She pushed.
And look what happened.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point. See, that's why we like having you on here, Latarsha.
It's a great prediction.
Awesome.
You know? So she's... yet another thing that she's not really necessarily addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she just keeps pushing it down. Now that she is doing her, she's on her new Black forum of doing all Black stories.
All black everything.
I didn't want to say it. Yeah. I didn't know
that's where you were going. But it changed the world.
But then, of course, she has a meeting with Kara, and Kara says that she's going to break up with Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Did anybody see this coming? Thomas?
No. No. I didn't see it coming. I mean, they're like sisters, so I didn't see that coming. But you know what? I mean, Mary Jane's so pushy, and I think a part of that conversation that she had on the show was just some of her frustrations too. I mean, she just got called a black bitch and a
right.
monkey, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't think she really got over that. I think it was, you know, I think there's so many different aspects that black women deal with that they keep inside, and when it comes out, it's like dynamite.
Right.
And you may not have even been the person that caused it, but right. trust me, I have five sisters. Everything's cool one minute, next thing it's just, you know, so I know how it feels. But I kind of felt sorry for the lady a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. because I was just like, she was just helpless. I mean, she was just bullying that woman off the screen. And she just kept going. I was like,
I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm like, and she just kept going, and I'm just like, but then, like, as she kept going, I was like, you know what? We've been in those situations too many times to where someone's pushed us, so mm-hmm. unfortunately, she just so happened to be on the other end.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. So, of course, we see that Mary Jane gets the breakup speech from Kara. It makes her sad. They tear up. You know, she said, let's just be friends. But then we get good news. We find out that Cynthia called off her show. She was sick that day or something. Mm-hmm. So, So Mary Jane had the option, or she has the possibility of filling in for her show. I love the little nip tuck dance. They were
that was like great moment.
Yeah. You know, the gang is back. Like yeah. they're back in their like little niche of happiness and friendship
because they get to do primetime TV. And for those of you not in the TV world, primetime is big money. That's where you want to be. Daytime. Yeah, daytime, not as much, even though TV's great. We all want to do it. Okay, so, of course, we see that she gets to get on the show. She's interviewing a woman who is a charter school advocate. And we find out that this charter school advocate also kind of seems to be pushing the conservative agenda by being sponsored by the right or the conservatives in politics. So when MJ just simply asks her the question, you know, people feel like she's being what's the word? Badgering her. Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel the same way? Or do you think no. she was just in what
I
she was
she
doing?
Was just.
I think she was what Kara had asked, talked to her about
yeah.
prior. And she's like, okay, I'm gonna take off the gloves. I'm going to be a journalist. I'm going to go in as I should.
Was it the right time to do this? Or do you think she probably lost her job?
That was where I disagreed.
Go big or go home.
Really?
Well, yeah, literally. She doesn't have to lose at home.
I mean, it's her one shot to kind of prove that she deserves to be in the primetime spot. And if this lady's going to be out for 2 weeks, like, she's trying to solidify everything right now. And if you're going to go for it, might as well go on the big stage.
I partially agree with you. I'm 50-50. I feel like if it goes viral and it's a success for the network, then it's great. It's like, oh, we have ratings, we have views, it's wonderful. And if it doesn't, then she could be potentially, you know, her job could be in jeopardy.
Right.
But I also think if she's not a fit at SNC, and that seems to be something that is in question, if she really goes at it the way she should as a journalist, she may then have an opportunity somewhere else. Her CNN, yes. which she had always mm-hmm. been
Someone
vying
else
for.
Will pick her up.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if she lost her job or not
I'm
next
so
week.
I'm so mad Woo. That we don't know about that.
I know.
I can't wait.
I'm on pins and needles.
Me
but
too.
I will say that I thought that what she did was the right thing to do because she needed that. But there is something in the tone of you doing it where it did feel a little attack. And mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. a way to ask the same questions and get a better reaction and maybe real answers out of
well, that's, right. that's I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, that's what I was talking about before. That's the actual interview I was talking about. Like, I mean, what she just got called, you know, a black bitch and a monkey and yeah. all that stuff. And like I said, it's like, and she just so happened to be on the other side. And she just, I mean, I think as she started to get momentum and started to feel it, I think just the fact that this lady was trying to patronize her in a lot of ways, it was just making her more mad, more irritated. And then it was just like, hey, you know what, I have the floor. I think she kind of just spaced out, like blacked out. And then after, she's like, oh God, what did I do? But I don't know. That's how it is. Like I said, I have five sisters. I know how that goes. And unfortunately for her, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I felt a little bad for her, but at the same time, I understand what she, mm-hmm. what she did.
One thing I will say, I think it's the moment, the last moment, right. is what may have lost her job. Her job.
Yeah.
Calling her the...
Yes.
I see. I That's see where it. She... Oh. Black woman, she too. Went from journalist to, I'm going to make a personal attack. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, so we will see what happens with that. So then, of course, we also see that PJ gets a job offer to go to California to develop some property. But it's it might be a little illegal with bid rigging. And legal. So, but well, dad,
it's illegal.
It's illegal, people. And of course, his dad tells him about his friend who also wants to give him a job, but for way less money. What do you guys think is going to happen? Is PJ going to take the job with less money, more integrity, or the big fast money and possibly go to jail?
PJ season one would have definitely gone for the fast money. PJ season two, I hope he's smart enough to go for the
I hope
for the second
well.
Option.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but he needs to make that decision to do the right thing this time, because that's just setting a good example. Because of course people are going to expect him to do that, and that's right. something mm-hmm. that needs to change. You know, so right. hopefully he'll do the right thing.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's get into predictions. We have Ooh. Season finale coming up.
Ooh. So what? You know, I was just so wrapped up in all this lusciousness that was going on. I couldn't think about a prediction. I'll predict that Thomas Q. Jones will be back for season three. Woo, Cuddy Buddy's not out. He's yes. not out of the running just yet.
Okay.
I'd mm-hmm. like to see Cuddy Buddy with Dr. Lisa.
Oh!
I just feel it. The chemistry on the couch right now. I just, it all feels so good.
Look, Ebony and Ivory. They just living in a world full of harmony.
Nothing is soft. Everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I hugged him a couple times earlier.
Yeah, I also hugged him.
Okay, my prediction is that Mary Jane is going to lose her job, but she's going to get a better job somewhere else. Yes. All right, yes, you like that prediction?
I do.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. I'm sticking with my other predictions about Lisa and David. I got my eye on you.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, before we get out of here, where can we find you guys on social media?
I'm Latarsha Rose, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I don't really do, but Twitter, Instagram. And now I'm going to do some of the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And Thomas?
Thomas Jones, RB. RB stands for running back.
Yes. Yeah. But wait, also, we have to plug next week. It's going to be the 2-hour finale, and we are going to have Julian Acosta Ooh. And Sally Richardson Whitfield. So make sure you guys tune in again next week.
Yeah.
Season nice. Finale, 2 hours.
And where can we find you, ladies?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Fania Thomas.
I'm on Instagram and Facebook. No, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at the Tiana Hobson, and on Snapchat, Tiana_Hobson, and Periscope.
And you can find me, Megan Thomas, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. Don't forget to follow AfterBuzz TV on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Make sure you subscribe. We'll see you next week for the season finale. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.